So over the years, my son Ian and I have developed a few special little traditions. And one of them came about while we were living in Missoula, Montana. Ian's regular routine after he graduated high school included going to the local YMCA every day, and to exercise and to swim and to see lots of people who knew him there. And riding the bus back and forth was always a great part of that adventure. And I would regularly join him, and I would run on the treadmill, and he'd walk on the treadmill or bike, and then he'd go swim laps in the pool while I finished up my run. But then I would go to cool down in the pool, and Ian was always there waiting for me. And he was always waiting with a smile on his face because he was anticipating Daddy making a big splash. Now, this was a miniature Olympic-sized pool. It was 25 meters long. It was 12 feet deep in the deep end. So you had a chance to make a pretty big splash. And Ian would wait for me faithfully, and he'd jump in first, and then he'd wait for me. And I would make my big splash, and I'd go down to the bottom, and I'd come up to the top, and then we'd go over to the side. And then Ian liked me to tell him familiar stories, but to tell him those stories underwater. And so we had fun with this, and we had a few stories that always sort of kept resurfacing, literally. And one of our favorites was green eggs and ham. And I think Ian liked to hear the story underwater because of the point in the story when the protagonist crashes into the water, and he said, "I do not like green eggs and ham," in 39 different ways already. But then he says it underwater when he says, so Ian always got a kick out of this, and I got a kick out of it too. And it was a great tradition that we had for many years while we were living in Montana. After 400 years of slavery in Egypt, Moses and Israel arrived at their own point of decision to either go back to what was certain or to take a big leap of faith, a big splash, you could say, and move forward into the future, a future that was uncertain, a future that was perilous, a future that they really had no definite assurances was going to be a future of safety and of security and of promise. You know, Moses' journey had already been one in which he had to face several fears along the way, whether it was a fear of Pharaoh in light of the fact that he was a convicted murderer being called to go back to Egypt, or it was a fear of God visibly manifest in a burning bush, or fear for himself and his people of a very visible reality, namely a life of slavery, a slavery that was leading generations to a painful death. And yet the story of Moses becomes the story of Israel, and together we find them facing those fears. And instead of cowering from them or retreating from them or going backwards to the past, they choose to step into them and to move forward in faith. With armies right in front of them and then right behind them as they flee, and a watery barrier on the other side of them, and slavery being the option of going backwards, if you were them, what would you have chosen? If I were them, I would have been tempted to say, given the choice of death in that direction or death in this direction, I'll take slavery. Because at least we knew where our next meal was coming from. At least we had a roof over our heads. It wasn't gainful employment, but it was employment. We knew our place in society. We knew who we were. We had a general idea of where our lives were going. And Israel does this even before they hit the Red Sea. And Moses is beginning their escape from slavery to freedom. And already they're saying, why did you do this? Couldn't we just go back to what we know? Couldn't we just go back to what has become familiar? And don't we all at one time or another, when faced with daunting prospects ahead of us, naturally want to retreat back to what is known and what is familiar and what is comfortable? Whether those are good old days of celebration, or if not good old days, at least known old days of slavery. And yet we see here that despite all of the complaints and all of the grumbling, Moses and the people of Israel choose not to retreat, but to advance. To take a step forward, and another, and to eventually leap into those waters of uncertainty. You know, the past, however pleasant or familiar or not that it is ultimately meant to serve the present. But when the present serves the past, we end up trapped by those good old days. And we end up even enslaved to our memories of when things made sense, when we knew what was going on in life and in the world. But whether the past is slavery or its celebration, the reality is the same. Life is always a journey in the present, taking one step at a time into the future, not back into the past. No matter what back to the future may say. And we look around our world today. If you're like me, you wake up each morning wondering, what the hell is going on with our planet? Unprecedented destruction by fires in my home state of California. Others still crawling through and digging through the wreckage of storms, earthquakes, other natural disasters. Around the world, we see continued violence, conflict, warfare, enslavement in some parts of the world, starvation, homelessness, disease. And there's so much happening in our world that is happening to us. People aren't choosing to take a plunge into the deep end of life. Life circumstances are flinging them into that deep end. And I think back to some personal experience of that season of life when we were living in Montana. And I went through my own season of unemployment and then underemployment and then employment, but in a different time zone from the rest of my family. And there were times where I came home and jumped into that pool at the YMCA with Ian, and I'm down in the pressure of those depths. And I'm not saying just, I do not like this, Sam, I am. I'm saying, I do not like this, oh great, I am. And I think of those times, and I think of these times that so many of us are living in, not just trying to survive and endure natural disasters, but those unexpected disasters that come right into our living room. The diagnosis, the desertion or betrayal, the unexpected calamity and loss, whatever that loss might be. What does this experience of Moses and the Israelites have to say to any of that? I wonder if there's something about plunging into the depths of life experience, whether we choose to take that plunge or that choice is made for us by those circumstances, that there's something about that pressure in the depths that does something. That does something within us, that does something among us, that unearths something that ultimately, even in small, simple ways, like bubbles rising up out of the depths of those waters, finds its way to air again, finds its way to light again, finds its way to hope again. They say that when you find yourself plunging or having plunged down into the depths of water, our first natural response is to panic. And if you could hyperventilate underwater, you would. But normally what we're advised to do is not to panic, but to pause. And to the very best of our abilities, to simply be present. And to try and recognize where we are. And then, although I'm not a scuba diver, I've heard this, the next thing we should do is look for the direction of the bubbles and to see where they're headed. Because as soon as you can see the direction that the bubbles are headed, you know the direction that your body needs to go. Moses and the people of Israel chose to plunge into those depths of the Red Sea, partly, I think, because one way or another, life was going to plunge them into those depths. They chose to take the plunge and follow those bubbles to freedom. The pressure brought something up out of them that they didn't realize was within them. The power to move forward into uncertainty. The power to step into a place that would eventually become freedom. In the pressure of those depths of despair, a new light, a new possibility, a new hope emerged. Something that I found fascinating in my little tradition with Ian is that when I would make the big splash into the deep end, Ian was less fascinated by the big splash that extended up into the air and more fascinated by watching my body go down into the deep end. So much so that eventually I knew it was my cue to jump when he would go underwater. Because he wasn't really watching what was above the surface. He wanted to see me plunge down into the depths and then eventually come up. And interestingly enough, once we as a family were emerging out of that deep end season of our lives, Ian wrote me a Father's Day card. And I think with a little prompting from his mom, decided to share something that he was thankful for, my presence in his life. And so in his very simple Ian way, it says, "Happy Father's Day. I love you, Dad. Thank you for making a big splash." And I wonder at times if we are more aware of the reality of what we're living in than we realize. We are living in an uncertain present right now in our world, in our community, maybe very well in our own families, within our own skin. we are pondering an unknown future. Who knows where all of this is leading? The question I'm asking myself, and I would put to all of us, is this. How are we called to be as truly and fully present as possible, even in the uncertainty, even in the midst of the unknown? How are we called to look forward and take or endure that plunge of faith into the deeper waters? How are we called, in the face of great fear, to take one more step of faith? Maybe part of that calling, wherever we find ourselves on that scale of fear, is to be present. Be calm, as the Brits say, and look for the bubbles. Amen.